Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. According to UNICEF, the mental health of children and adolescents is one of the most neglected health issues globally. The Health Ministry recently revealed that 1 in 20 children in Malaysia, aged between 5 to 9, are estimated to have mental health disorders, including developmental disorders. The National Health Morbidity Survey had also found that 1 in 8 adolescents, aged between 10 to 19, have mental health disorders. Now, what are the underlying issues that lead to the high prevalence of mental health issues among children and adolescents? And what is needed for a framework in Malaysia to provide this unmet need for mental health and psychosocial support? Joining me on the show is child and adolescent psychiatrist Dr. Aili Hanim Hashim. She's also the president of MyCAPS, the Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Association of Malaysia. Dr. Aili, thank you for joining me on the show. I've cited some statistics in my introduction, but I was wondering whether you could help us put that into context. What do we know and understand about the various mental health issues or the state of mental health of children and adolescents in Malaysia?
Thank you, Melissa, for having me. Right. Just going straight to what you've asked, I think the statistics is possibly, and I think you would know that, it's just the tip of the iceberg, right? This is because of we are citing numbers that are seen in the mental health services. And what we do know, there's a lot more people that will either not come or afraid to seek help, or they don't know it's a mental health disorder, or they just don't know where to seek help. Yeah. And I think you also know this, and a lot of other people know this too, that the mental health disorders or children, when I say children here, I mean people below the age of 18, more and more people are seeking help. And what I've seen over the last couple of years, and I say the last couple of years, this is happening before even the pandemic started, that adolescents are actually seeking help on their own, right? Because they tried and they can't, or either people don't understand them. And they have reached out because of social media and information. So they have seek help for themselves.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, I do want to unpack that a little bit with you, particularly about them seeking help on their own. But I'm curious to know, how do these mental health disorders present in children? What are the risk factors, if I may, for mental health distress among children and adolescents?
Okay, so you're asking me two things here. One is the presentation, and the other one is the risk factors. Let me talk about risk factors first, yeah? Sure. And the risk factors, as we do know, there's no one single etiology that can give rise to mental health disorders in children. Yeah, mental health disorders in children are usually a combination. For example, it's a neurodevelopmental disorder. It means they are born with it. Yeah, for example, like ADHD, autism, learning disability, intellectual disability, but there are factors outside the individual, i.e. for example, in the family, in the school, or in the neighborhood, that can change the picture of what the individual has. So it's usually a combination of. Now, in terms of presentation as well, it depends on the age of the individual. Yeah, for example, there are some kids who have more severe form of disorder, for example, intellectual disability, or Down syndrome, for example. So they're easily recognized in the form of a very early stage. But in children who have less severe disability, for example, intellectual disability or attention deficit disorder or even autism, they are picked up much later. And I usually see that, and usually it can be picked up even by, for example, preschool age, and then you can see more symptoms or you can see more severity occurs during the primary school and then in the secondary school, so on and so forth. And the presentation, it can be, for example, it can be seen as, let's say, developmental. They don't reach the developmental stage, or per age group. It can be behavioral. It can be learning, It can be interactions with others, and it be emotional, or all of these mentioned. Usually it's a combination.
Okay. All right. Can I ask you, you mentioned a bit earlier that you said when you're referring to children, you mean anyone under the age of 18. But is there a difference to be made between the mental health of, say, a child versus one of an adolescent, maybe from, according to this most recent survey, 10 to 19 being adolescent and a child between 5 to 9? Is there a difference to be made in the mental health of those age categories?
Not really. It's just the presentation may differ, right? You might not pick it up earlier, but then as you grow older, you can see it even more glaring, yeah? Mm-hmm. For example, a very good example is learning disability, right? The child may look, physically, they might look well, right? They might be able to cope in the primary school, in the preschool, but as you go into primary school and the lessons gets more complex, right, then the presentation is much easier to pick, or the severity causes a lot more difficulties in the children.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus, the definition is always before the age of 6 or 7.
Okay. All right. I'm coming back to what you mentioned earlier about how you're observing that many children are seeking for mental health help now on their own. Can we talk a little bit about the role of parents, particularly parents and guardians, I might add, particularly in assessing and identifying early mental health conditions in their children?
Okay, I use the word adults actually, because then okay. It will include everybody else.
Everyone in the sphere of the
yes,
child. Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay. Having said that, no fault of them. And a lot of parents will often say to me that, they were not aware of these symptoms, or that there's such thing as a mental health disorder, and which is true, isn't it? And many years ago, people would not have known about this, right? But I think with the awareness, increasing awareness, it's easier for the social media savvy adolescents to understand what they're going through. But I think in the adults, it's still a little hard to understand there's such thing as a mental health disorder. And I can understand that because what? You see, you have a fever, you go to the doctor, right? You take a temperature, you measure the pulse. But what evidence do we have to show in terms of mental disorder? Very difficult. Yeah. For example, mental health disorder is what I said earlier. Difficulties, emotions, and difficulties in thinking, for example, which has been there maybe for years by the time they reach us, before they get very severe. So it's very tough.
I do think it's quite interesting because, I wonder whether people truly understand what mental health conditions look like in children as opposed to how it presents in adults. I understand children are not little adults. From a child's lens, it has to be dealt with differently. But do children suffer from depressive symptoms, anxiety symptoms, stress? Are those factors that play into a child's mental health? And how do we address that differently from how we look at, say, an adult's mental health?
Well, if you listen to what I said earlier, children is anyone below 18. So yes, they can. They do. And the reality is they do. In fact, over the last couple of weeks, I've been giving talks to people just to be, and I emphasize that mental health disorder, for example, depression or anxiety in children is real. Right? Mm. It's real. Because I'm always given this question, why would a child be depressed? They can't be depressed.
How do you answer that question, Dr. Aili? Asks you, why would a child be depressed? What does he or she have to be depressed about? How would you respond to that?
Why would not they be depressed? Right? Because for kids nowadays, I shouldn't be talking about myself, but I just had to do this. My school time, I had a lot of fun. All right, homework was, you have homework, but it's not as much as we had now, the kids have now, right? So school performance expectation, yeah, it's, I think it's really, really tough for kids nowadays. And then we have parents, even though parents say they don't have that expectation, but they do, right? Now, the other thing that I've come across is families, they're actually many unstable or insecure family environment, even in our society. It's sad to say, yeah, it is very worrying because the unstable family environment does contribute to children's mental health difficulties, not only in terms of severity, but as well as prognosis and recovery.
All right. What do we look for in our children when we want to perhaps identify mental health? Let me rephrase that in another way. What would what would the mental health and psychosocial well-being of a child who is in a positive state, what would that look like, Dr. Aili?
In a positive state? I guess one of the things is to have a secure environment, secure environment. Okay, when I say secure environment is if it's possible, right, be it in the family, but outside the family home as well, the environment is secure, right? But if the environment is not secure outside, at least to have a secure family environment whereby the adults are united enough to be able to provide an environment whereby it's safe and secure. Yeah? And safe and secure family environment whereby there's unity, communication, doesn't mean, yeah, that you only provide nice things, schooling, good food and a home, but what it goes inside the family home, right? That is very pertinent and very difficult to talk about.
Well, that on my last question is, are you seeing attitudes and conversations change? When you say it's very difficult to talk about, are you seeing more openness to talk about it?
No.
Yes, thank you. You got my message.
Hopefully that will change. Dr. Aili, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. That was child and adolescent psychiatrist Dr. Aili Hanim Hashim from the Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Association Malaysia, MICAPS. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. If you've just joined us on the show, though, we're discussing the recent statistics that show a high prevalence of mental health disorders among children and adolescents, and what is needed to provide a framework of framework for mental health and psychosocial support for our children. My next guest is child psychologist Dr. Nur Aisha Rosli. She's a senior lecturer at the Department of Educational Psychology and Counseling. This is under the Faculty of Education at University of Malaya. Dr. Nur Aisha, welcome to the show. I'm looking at adolescent mental health. That's become quite a topic of growing concern in Malaysia over the recent years. But what are you observing? Your professional observations, are you seeing an increase in the prevalence of childhood mental disease, mental disorders?
Okay, hey, hello, hi everyone. Okay, actually I would like to discuss this topic based on my experience as a psychologist at my clinic at CPC Internationals. I do see adolescents and children who actually suffering from mental health issues, yeah? Most people, they don't believe that as early as 7 months old, that babies, or we call it infant, may have depression and anxiety. I do a lot of court cases which involve these kinds of infant who experience the anxiety and also depressions. And I can see that every week or every day we see the increasing of numbers. Yeah, children who suffering with anxiety, anxious, fear of something, yeah, they like nervous about the environments. Sometimes the school's environments and also parenting may contribute to these situations.
Okay.
What I can say is increasing and increasing this by this.
So may I ask you, do you think that there is an increase of a prevalence in recent times, or is it that this has been undiagnosed for so long? I'm wondering what the underlying issues are at play here.
This has happened since years ago, but because of the social media, are talking about anxiety and depression, and also share information from overseas. And from that, actually, we start knowing about the increasing of the numbers, children are suffering with anxiety and also depressions. It's happened every day, actually. Regardless if the family is from B40 family or middle income family or also high income families.
Okay, so given how many young people are struggling with their mental health and how few of them actually have access to treatment, Dr. Aisha, do you think that schools might be a good avenue for intervention?
You mean school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, school, yeah.
Yes.
Actually, I actually have thought about school. We do have a counselors. But actually, we should have a school counselors, a school psychologist, which is this psychologist, they will do assessment on the children. Or we can say that is the first screening for the children before they go to the counselors or to the psychiatrist. Yeah? So overseas, they have school counselors and school psychologists. School counselors actually will provide with counseling, but the school psychologist will actually assess these children by using the psychological tools, including the assessment. So based from the assessment, this student will actually refer to the psychiatrist or to the psychologist for further evaluation and also intervention.
All right. So that is the role of the school counselor. Is that right? Is that what you're saying? That's the role of the school counselor. Are they well equipped? Are they given the right resources? I'm just wondering whether that they have capacity to do this. Again, teachers and I'm sure counselors in schools have so much to do already. There's so much burden of work already. Are they able to provide this care, mental health care for students?
Yeah, I agree with that. They have a lot of things to do, but actually, that's why the private practice is very important, actually. Yeah, because we can see at school, 1,000 plus students, right? Okay, and they have only 3 to 4 school counselors. It's very difficult to handle everyone, yeah? And of course, each of the school, they have students with anxiety and also depression issues. Yeah? And then the private practice is very important to give a support rather than a school counselor. Private practice also important to play a role in these issues.
But private practice, there are barriers to access for private practice. How do we look to overcome that? So again, even as adults, many adults who struggle with mental health disorders don't have access to mental health care, let alone children who require an adult to provide that access for them. How do we overcome that barrier?
For me, when we're talking about adults and children, as adults, we must show our concerns about the children's issues, actually. Yeah. When we talk about adults, it's actually maybe refer to parents, refer to their teachers. We all have issues. We have all have mental health issues. But the most important thing here is about the children. They need to solve the issues first. They need to solve their fear, their anxiety, their anger first. So that's why it's very important for the school to actually play the roles, play their roles to provide with the services.
Okay, what kind of intervention programs can schools provide for children? When you talk about providing that care, what kind of intervention programs?
Okay, most of the school, I can see that they have awareness program, yeah, at school, but actually it's not enough. Yeah, it's not just give awareness, but they should educate the children about the mental health issue. And I, for me personally, I think the mental health educations need to be implemented at school so that the children will learn about what is anxiety, what are the symptoms of the anxiety, what are the symptoms of depression. So when they come to the, we call it early symptoms, they know how to handle with that situations.
Do you think that the literacy about mental health has improved? I mean, I ask because there's so much more conversation now about the importance of mental health and mental well-being, but there's also at the same time this dismissal when children face mental health issues. You know, adults ourselves are only just coming to terms with how mental health impacts our well-being, let alone children. We tend to dismiss or not hear what they're trying to tell us. I've heard comments like, what do you have to be depressed about? What do you have, you know, to be anxious about? Are we seeing more mental health promotion and literacy among young people as well as their parents?
Actually, what I can see, they learn about anxiety and depressions through YouTube, through social media, actually. They don't get the correct information based from the, you know, psychologists or school counselors, yeah? But they, for example, my client, they told me that, doctor, I only know about depression and anxiety through YouTube. And I also only know about how to minimize anxiety through YouTube. They choose to do the self-harm, which is, right, is a very wrong intervention for them. This is why I said just now about they might get wrong information from YouTube and social media about how to handle with their emotions.
Right. I read a very troubling statistics, Dr. Aisha, that suicide is the second leading cause of death among adolescents aged 15 to 19 years old. Very troubling statistics indeed. I mean, are we doing enough to address the risk of self-harm, the risk of suicide among this age group?
Normally, they are very, the young age, the adolescents between age 10 to 17 or 18 years old, they are very secretive. Yeah, they never share with this kind of thought with the with parents especially. But during the session, they will share with the practitioners. They will share with counselors and psychologists. Eh? During that session, it's very important for the practitioners to educate the children and adolescents that this is not the right way to do. Eh? There are many things, or many ways to help them minimize their anxiousness and also anxiety. Yeah?
For all the adults watching who have children in their lives, Dr. Aisha, what advice would you give to them about being aware of, helping to identify early mental health distress in our children?
Yeah, okay, to those who actually listen to this conversation, this is important for all of us, especially to the parents, to observe their children. Eh? Number one is to make the comparison before and after, the behavior of the children. They might change their behavior and emotions. Eh? Maybe before this, their child is very friendly, very talkative, but suddenly they change their attitude and behavior. They change their personality. They feel they more become anxious. They worry. Yeah, and then also always have two-way communications with the children. Two-way communication is very important to know about them. Yeah? To always check their emotions. Yeah? I have a gathering with the family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the most important thing is to have two-way communications, to always observe the differences with the behavior before and after. Yeah? And then if you find any concerns, any symptom, so you have to take the action immediately to see with the practitioners.
Okay, and the action to be taken would be to seek out some kind of some professional help. Are there avenues for parents who may not have access or the resources to seek mental health treatment for their children? Where would they go?
Okay. Actually, you can go to hospital, general hospital. You can go to private hospital, and you can also Google to any private practice. Yeah, and then you also can come to our place, CBC International in Bandar Baru Bangi.
Okay. Yeah. All right then. Yeah. Thank you so much for speaking with me. That was child psychologist Dr. Nur Asha Rosli from the Faculty of Education at University Malaya. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.